What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to NBA Therapy, Episode 3, the basketball podcast where me, Nate Dizor, and my co-host,
Stephen Pack,
we just talk hoops and try to educate those who need it and just have an open discussion about basketball. So we're going to jump right into the topic of today, and that's player empowerment. But first, I want to just get out of the way a little bit of the news. A little bit of Nets news, actually, made multiple signings for the bubble. Jamal Crawford signed with the Nets. We signed Dante Hall. Yeah, Dante Hall. And we signed Michael Beasley, of all people. So I know it may not seem that big in the grand scheme of things. They're probably not going to play that much. But I just like the move from Sean Marks, our general manager, just because it shows the players that are going to Orlando that we care, that we're trying to win, that we believe we can win, regardless if we can or not. It just shows the players that we're invested in it. We're not just sending them over there with nothing. We're trying to make it as best as we can, because the Nets are missing more players than probably almost any team that's there. And you check on social media, and a lot of players are actually in the bubble. It's kind of funny to see some of their posts, what they can eat in the bubble and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really like what Sean Marks is doing. I feel like a lot of teams would have just tanked for that ninth seed to get a lottery pick, and I'm glad we're not doing that. I'm glad we're actually trying to succeed, because when we come back next year, when KD and Kyrie are healthy and back, the Nets should be going for a title. That's the plan.
Yeah, you actually just changed my mind. I kind of thought that the Jamal Crawford and Beasley signings were like messing up the chemistry of the Nets, but now that I think about it, like the way you said it, that they'd be like trying to put out like a contending mentality, like it does make sense in that sense. Yeah,
for sure. It's just a good mentality to have. And yeah, I mean, if I were a player on the Nets and I saw that we were trying to sign all these guys, trying to get people to play, because we're obviously Dinwiddie, who I'd say was probably our biggest ball handler the whole year, because LeVert and Kyrie missed time. So our whole offense is going to change. I mean, why not get a guy like Jamal Crawford or Beasley, whatever. Whatever we can get, I like it. Always a step ahead.
I like
ahead.
It too.
Always a step ahead, Brooklyn is.
I don't know about that one.
So let's hop right into the topic, player empowerment. If you could describe this past decade, 2010s, with one idea for the NBA, I'd say it's the player empowerment decade. Starting with the decision in 2010, LeBron took his talents to South Beach, and everything just spiraled out of control after that. And it's great that the players have more power. I'm glad it's like that. It shouldn't be where I don't believe that. I feel like David Stern was, it was still like a kind of an old mentality where the team and the owner is, you know, the king. So I'm glad the players have more pull. But recently, in the last 3 years specifically, things are not getting out of control, but they're definitely shifting in the players' favor. And Adam Silver's player favored too, the commissioner. So he probably won't have much to say against it, because he wants the players to have a lot of power. But the main thing is forced trades. And, you know, they've happened before. Kareem in 1980-79, when he told Milwaukee you want to go LA. Shaq in 96, but that was more of a free agent thing. He didn't force his way out. He waited for the season to end. But those are spread out over time. There's never been so many consecutively. So we're just going to look at the last 3 years since 2017, January 1st, 2017, and we're going to recap all the biggest trades. That was actually the original idea for the video. We were just going to recap the biggest trades the last 3 years, and I started to notice a trend that the majority of them were player generated. So we're going to go through about 7 or 8 trades. You know, there's a few big trades that we would have included, like the Doncic trade for Trae Young, or the Fultz Tatum trade, the Porzingis trade, D'Lo for Wiggins, and both CP3 trades. Those weren't player generated, so we'll talk about those some other time. And we're just going to hop right into it. I'll let you start it off. We can start with Paul George. You want to start with Paul George?
Yeah, let's start with Paul George. What do you want to start with? The Pacers trade?
We'll do the first trade, yeah. Because I want to say, out of all these trades that I have, his was the first. It was early 2017. Yeah, I want to say his was the first. It was late, because the Pacers made the playoffs, right, in 2017?
Yeah, I think this was like 2016, I would say.
It might have been 2016. No,
it was 16-17, around that era.
Yeah, and I want to say it was post his injury, right?
It was post his injury, for sure.
It was post injury, right? Yeah.
He had his injury, then he had a good season, and then it was the trade.
And this is actually one of the few exceptions where everything was mainly under wraps. I remember there was a lot of talk about PG going to LA, didn't know where to trade him, but the news hit like that, and it was like, boom, PG to OKC. And the trade was simple. Paul George to OKC for Oladipo and Sabonis to Indiana. This one's interesting, because Oladipo and Sabonis were both All-Stars. Oladipo was an All-Star in 2018. Probably would have been in 2019 if he didn't get injured. And Sabonis was an All-Star just this past year. So two All-Stars in this trade. There's no way you guys could have expected to get that. And I definitely say, crazy as it sounds, Indiana won that trade. Sabonis, young. Oladipo, young. Obviously, the injury happened after. PG already had the injury, so... You know, he probably wasn't the same. Obviously, he came back even better, but how do you feel about that trade as a Pacers fan?
I love this trade. This is when I completely put all my faith in the front office. Like, after I saw the results of Oladipo and Sabonis, obviously. But when I first saw this trade, I had woken up that morning because I was on vacation and I was in Europe. So I saw it at like 6 a.m. in the morning. And when I saw this, my heart dropped. Because I saw it and I didn't see any picks, and I was looking for picks all over this trade. I couldn't find any on any Twitter source. And to me, I was just like, oh, this is it for the Pacers contending run.
Post Reggie Miller, he was the best player I'd say you guys had. Post Reggie Miller.
Yeah, either him or Jermaine O'Neal. I thought we were going to trade with the Celtics, Lakers, or Cavs. There were a number of offers on the table, and
yes,
Sabonis
the Cavs one almost happened, I've heard.
Yeah, and Sabonis wasn't even anywhere close to the player he was. With OKC, he was a spot-up shooter, so
Sabonis wasn't even, like, it wasn't even a big part of the trade. And Oladipo wasn't an All-Star yet.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Pacers obviously won. But I don't think the Thunder lost, because you get PG, who was third in MVP voting, but like obviously that team didn't do anything. But the Thunder got massive trade value for PG from the Clippers.
Yeah, you got two, I'd say one pretty good, one excellent, so two great seasons basically from out of Paul George. And I want to say last year he was first team All NBA. I mean, if you counted the playoffs, then he probably wouldn't have been first team All-NBA. But he was first team All-NBA, I'm pretty sure. Him and Giannis.
He was.
And that was a year with LeBron and Kevin Durant in the league. So that's a big achievement just at that.
Yeah.
And Pacers get younger guys. Oladipo's 28. Sabonis is 24. I didn't think he was that young. Great value for both teams. I'd say... I guess it's yet to see. We don't really know who won yet because of the second Paul George trade. So we can get right into that. This happened.
What you gonna say about the Pacers trade?
Yeah.
I know the Pacers got great value, obviously, Oladipo and Sabonis, but it does scare me that Oladipo is leaving. And also, during that year, the Celtics threw around a Nets pick in one of their trade offers before the summer.
Yep.
For Paul George. And that was a pick that turned out to be the number one pick.
Yeah, that eventually Philly traded for Tatum.
Yeah.
So. And like a lower pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first pick. But of course, the Nets were that.
Yep.
But who knows if Boston were to give that up? Because that was one of the biggest trade assets, that pick.
Yeah, there were another number of other teams too, like the Lakers, Cavs, Wizards, Rockets. I remember those.
I'd say you were happy with how it turned out, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love Sabonis and Oladipo on some level. Right now, it's kind of iffy.
Great players. Oladipo's a free agent next summer, right?
The rumors are like swirling like crazy right now. I'm seeing so swirling. Much Miami Heat stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Miami Heat stuff. Well, I'm guessing we're going to talk about them a lot in the coming weeks.
And that's you hear that report about Anthony Davis wanting to play in Indy?
Really?
You didn't
hear? He's from Chicago, right? He's from Chicago, yeah. Right?
So basically, that's when Paul George was like, Paul George like Anthony Davis wanted to come with him, and the Pacers were like, no, we can't do that because we're a small market. We can't go that much under the cap. And that's when Paul George was like, all right, I'm done with it. That's when I want to be traded. He said it on like a different show or podcast or something, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my, wait. So they had a chance to get AD and they didn't because of money reasons?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wow. I did not know that. See, I saw him on that podcast talking about the ensuing events to him leaving. But I didn't watch it because, to be honest with you, I didn't know if he was telling the truth.
I mean, think so either. But then a Pacers beat reporter said it was indeed true.
Oh,
and
my
he's
God.
Like more biased towards the Pacers. So
yeah, that's crazy.
That kind of broke my heart.
That's a what if. I mean, Oladipo and Sabonis are great, but Davis is a different story. It would have taken a ton to get Davis though. Like, the Pelicans are not going to just give him up. Best player probably since CP3. And
I don't know if we could have manufactured a trade for him either.
And especially at that time, he probably had, 3 or 4 years left on his deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... The Pelicans would have... They would have wanted all of your draft picks.
For sure.
But, hey,
and we're a good drafting team, so...
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, do you want to get to the next PG trade? Which is, I guess, where we'll evaluate how well this trade went. So, just 2 years later, in the summer of 2019, last summer, PG asked for another trade to the Clippers. He's from LA, right?
I think so, yeah.
He's from LA, right? His hometown. He wanted to be in LA. Most importantly, to team up with Kawhi, and this trade is a mouthful. It was Paul George to the Clippers, just Paul George, for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and 5 first rounders. Two swap bests, and 2 of those 5 first rounders are from Miami. The picks range from 2021 to 2026. So
crazy.
Who knows how those picks turn out, but it's yet to see who will win this trade. But oh my gosh,
who do you think's gonna win the trade?
It's so much value. I guess if the Clippers win the championship, who cares what they lose? But because this isn't being talked enough with the Clippers. I want to say I mentioned this on a previous podcast. Not sure, but. The fact that Kawhi and PG only have 2 years left, and then they
I was going to say that.
They have that option, and if they don't pick it up, they're an unrestricted free agent. Let's play out a reasonable scenario right now, because this is really important. This will see what the PG trade gets. I'd say the Thunder, both PG trades, it has to be a win. One of these first rounders are going to turn it. Like, you got to get players out of this. Shai is already good and young. Gallinari, they'll get a few good years out of him. He's been great this year. They're in the playoffs. I don't see how OKC loses from this trade. And they weren't making it past the first round anyway with PG and Russ.
Well, here's the thing.
Now they get to rebuild.
They get 7 first rounders, and they're like one of the best drafting teams I've witnessed. And
oh yeah,
if Paul George and Kawhi can opt out after 2 years, like, crossing my fingers, but those two guys are injury prone. Say one injury happens and they don't make a championship run in these next 2 years.
Let's play out a realistic scenario. Let's say this year they're rested, but they lose to either Milwaukee, Boston, or LA. I'd say that's realistic to happen. Would you?
Yeah.
Let's say next year things get a little tougher. Lou Williams gets a little older. I don't know. PG tweaks an ankle in the playoffs, and then boom, second year gone. Or whatever happens. One guy gets injured in like the second round and they lose. I'd say that's fairly realistic because both guys have suffered injuries that have kept them out for like a whole year. Especially PG, because not only his leg, but he's gotten what? He's gotten shoulder surgery.
Yeah. And he's banged up.
That's never a good sign. PG and both players, when was PG drafted? 2010?
I want to say 2010, 2011, around there.
I want to say Kawhi was 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then PG was 2010, yeah.
Yeah, so both players have been in the league for 10 years. They're not exactly, they're not the youngest. Like they're both in their prime, undoubtedly. So if they, this is crazy, if those 2 years don't pan out and then they just leave, that is an all-timer, like, horrible trade.
You know why I wouldn't be surprised, though?
Like, lotteries. So you wouldn't be surprised. I'd actually be shocked if that happened.
I wouldn't be surprised because it's the Clippers. Because they have such a bad history.
Yeah,
of things like this just happening all the time. And if we were just looking at this, like, as of right now, the Thunder have won the trade because SGA has doubled his points per game. PG's been
SGA is good. SGA. How many games has PG even played?
I don't know. It's really small. And PG hasn't won a playoff series since 2014. Like, you on love, some you level,
that.
He's cursed,
you
too.
You love that stat. You love that stat. You really do.
I do love it.
But,
I thought they got robbed at first, but the Thunder got robbed. But looking back at it, after I saw those picks, I'm not too sure about that.
See, I did it. I thought the trade was great. I mean, the other two picks are Miami, and if what we think could happen does happen in free agency, those picks are done. Like, there's no universe where if Miami has the summer they want to have, that those picks don't turn out. But if PG and Kawhi just walk after 2 years, and the Clippers are back to square one. Oh my god. Hey, that's like an all-time dark moment for a team. Because they're basically, that means their next 4 years, like, it doesn't even matter.
If there was any team it would happen to, it would be the Los Angeles Clippers.
They have to compete. And look, I'm a Nets fan. This would be a little similar to the KG Pierce trade.
Yes.
If they leave. And I'll just say, that stretch from 2015, 16, and 17, as a Nets fan, was dark. It was dark. 18, dark. I can't stress that enough. It was, we'd win like 20 games, and our picks would just be like top five every time. And it'd actually be good players that are drafted with them.
Those tickets were costing about $5 a piece.
Yeah, at least I got to go to a game a year because they were so cheap. But I remember one game our two starting guards were Jarrett Jack and I can't remember his name. It was like it's a guy's Isaac something. I can't remember his name. He's not even on a team anymore. So it was
Jarrett Jack is that bad though. He had a good career.
He was old and washed by the time. It was in like 2018. Yeah.
That died's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was horrible. So, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the Clippers have a great chance of winning a title in the next 2 years. And I think if they don't, I can't see how Kawhi and PG walk. Unless the supporting cast around them just dissolves, but they're in the best situation. They have the best roster.
No, there's no reason for them to walk at all.
Which made the trade so great. So I don't think that'll happen, but it's really interesting to see how that'll play out. But I'd say OKC won just from getting all those picks. Like one of those picks is bound to turn into a great player. And
the
OKC
reason I still have
or is a good team.
Faith in this Clippers team is because of Jerry West. I just feel like Jerry West is such a good executive. Like he'll find a way to put it all together.
Oh, I have a ton of faith in this team.
Yeah,
I really sure. do. I haven't looked at gambling odds, but I assume they're in the top three for championship odds.
Yeah, I think they're around that 2-3 range right now.
They're probably there right now.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting how Paul George is involved in two trades. And look, the first trade, I can see why he wanted out, especially after the Anthony Davis thing, if that's true. Because he probably just came to the realization, I'm not going to play with anyone good. And he got to play with Westbrook. And say what you want about Westbrook, but he's better than anyone the Pacers had. All-star, MVP in 2017, the previous year. And the next year, I can't imagine him like getting a call on Kawhi being like, hey, you want to team up with me? I'm the best player in the league. And he's just, why wouldn't you take that? So we can say what we want about signing the contracts. Look, I've always thought if you sign the contract, you got to play it out. I thought it was crazy that he had the power after only 1 year. Because he had 3 years left in that deal. Somehow, him and Kawhi got their contracts to match up. There's two left. But I thought it was crazy how he just could request a trade after a year, and then he gets what he wants.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later with Kawhi's trade. But yeah, I definitely it's crazy. Yeah,
Kawhi's trade is in a different category. We can do. Want to do Kyrie next?
Should we do Jimmy Butler? Because that was actually first chronologically.
Yeah, we'll do Jimmy Butler's. We'll do both.
For Levine, right?
Yes. So this trade is very interesting. Jimmy Butler to the Timberwolves for Zach LaVine, and I don't have it here. Chris Dunn was
in the seventh,
and I believe there was somebody else in the trade. Larry Markkinen, right?
Yep.
So basically, the Bulls' two best players right now, right?
Yeah.
So the Bulls just lost in the first round to Boston that year in 2017. They were actually up 2-0. Rondo, of all people, gets injured, and they drop 4 to the Celtics. That was the Isaiah Thomas Celtics. And Butler wants out. It got a little toxic, I'd say. I don't know the details, but he wanted out. And he went to the Timberwolves. And practically, I mean, I don't want to say ruined, but it didn't go well.
With the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't go well, but for their standards, it went well. Because didn't he lead them to their first playoff series in, like, I don't want to, was it, no, it wasn't, I don't know, it was their first playoff series in years.
Probably since KG, honestly.
Yeah, since KG.
Because Kevin Love never made the playoffs. Those teams never made it.
That was just empty stats.
So, yeah, I'd say the KG Timberwolves. But the main thing about this trade that's interesting is that, and people don't talk about this, when that trade first happened, it's funny. I had friends, like, tell me, and they'd be like, can I be a Timberwolves fan now? And I'd be like, no, you can't. They're good now.
Oh, my God. That's so like,
they're,
true.
They're a team for the future. Everyone was hopping on their bandwagon, as I remember it, which is really weird because it's the Timberwolves of all teams.
And everyone is off that bandwagon now.
Yeah, they're all gone. I don't know a single Timberwolves fan.
Yeah, because they had that core of Towns, Wiggins, LaVine. Obviously, they traded LaVine for Butler.
And LaVine wasn't averaging like 20-plus that he is now.
Yeah. But the thing about this
trade is that... Shooter.
Yeah, the thing about this trade was that Chris Dunn, at that time, he was about as much of an asset as Zach LaVine was.
Yeah, he was like, a bigger asset. But
yeah, Zach LaVine was coming off the torn ACL, so no one knew what he was going to be yet.
Dunn was a high lottery pick. He was definitely a bigger asset. So I'd say I'd say the Bulls got back a big haul. Just LaVine and Markkanen. I mean, look, what's the Bulls team without them?
Well, that's true, but Markkanen's been disappointing this year.
Yeah, I know. After his rookie year, especially with the injuries.
Yeah, Chris Dunn's actually been really good this year.
I want to say he was first team all rookie. I feel like he was.
He had to be. Yeah.
I think like him and Kuzma were the forwards or something like that. But yeah, he had a good rookie. That was the Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons class, right?
I think it was, yeah. Do you remember the Timberwolves thing they had going in the Timberwolves when they had Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, and Thibodeau?
Yes, I do remember that. And yeah, that's right. And the most interesting thing about this trade is that so Butler gets injured the very next year, and that's where they have Butler, Towns, and Wiggins. And basically all NBA analysts, experts, what have you, everyone was saying Timberwolves are making the playoffs. Everyone was saying it. Butler was an all-star. Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, was one of the biggest upcoming stars. Wiggins was probably valued higher than he is now at that time, I'd say. Right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Wiggins was like, I remember in GM polls, he was like one of those guys where it was this guy in the future. Yeah.
Yeah, him and Towns would always rank high in those. And you get Butler, who's an all-star. So all signs point them to being good, which actually made sense at first. They were the fourth seed in the West, stacked West, in 2018. This is the year when Houston's balling. They're the first seed. Golden State's like peak of their powers. San Antonio with Kawhi is still good. West is loaded this year. And they're the fourth seed with Butler. He gets injured, and they drop to the eighth seed. And I remember he comes back at the very end of the season. They play the Nuggets at the end of the season, and it was kind of like a mini playoff game because it was a scenario where the Nuggets were 9 and Timberwolves were 8, and it was basically whoever wins gets it. This was when little younger Jokic and Jamal Murray. Timberwolves won that. They went to the playoffs. They got smacked by Houston. I think it went 5 or 4. And
Cat played terrible in that game.
Yeah, Cat had an awful series. And I think Butler, I can see from Butler's standpoint, him seeing how they played without him and just being like, I can't roll with these guys. Because they were the 4th seed and they dropped to the 8th seed. So you have to think if Butler hadn't been there in the first place, they don't make the playoffs. Like, they're not even close.
Yeah, that's true. Well, if anyone won this trade, it's Butler, I feel like. Because Butler got down to Miami.
Yeah, Butler eventually went through Philly, too. Butler made them a top 10 team, and then without him, they're not a playoff team. They're not a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
So I can totally see his perspective. And look, he got killed for what happened. He was the first person to get killed for these requesting trades things. Kyrie didn't get killed when it happened, right?
Yeah,
I don't remember it. PG
no did. Kyrie definitely got killed actually because of because of what they were saying about him not want like him just leaving a championship team and all the criticism he gave to LeBron. So
I thought people were saying, I like this move. Kyrie is not stacking the deck. He wants his own team. I thought that's what people reacted, but I'm not surprised. I think
are we talking about that trade right now?
Now, real quick, just we're gonna do next Butler's trade, and then we'll move to Kyrie after that.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with Butler. The next year after that, they disappoint the playoffs. They get bounced by Houston. They got a bad matchup. Imagine if they played like Utah in the 4th seed or something like that, 5th seed. Maybe they get OKC.
I can't see that team going anywhere either way.
They could be second round, though. It's not bad.
Not with Kat and Wiggins.
They really disappointed that year. Next year, they're not even close to the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure all their players were healthy. And that's when we hear about the infamous practice where Jimmy joins the bench players, the role players, the reserves?
They're Third team.
Yes, that's right. Third stringers, and just destroys the starters. I remember him saying in an interview that he actually didn't make a shot. He didn't even take a shot that whole like scrimmage or whatever. But he was just dominating, like block shots, controlling the tempo, everything. So look, if he felt like he couldn't win with them, I mean, look, it got bad, but I can totally see Jimmy Butler, because we all know hard worker. The stories of him getting to practice at like 3 a.m. and he just didn't see it with those guys. Didn't see they were working as hard as them, wanted to compete. So I'm not going to kill him for it. I don't think it was right. I think he could have done it a better way. I think he could have handled it a better way. But I mean, he was the best player on the team by far at that point.
He deserved to get shipped out of there.
If he was beating them. And yeah, and they were done with him. So eventually Philly, before the trade deadline, Philly actually made two trades. They traded for Tobias Harris and Jimmy. They had one of the best rosters in the league at that point. This was in 2019. Jimmy Butler gets traded right before the trade deadline. I want to say in January or February. Could have been December of 2018.
I think it was pretty early. I think it was like 13 games in the season.
Yeah, it was pretty early. You're right. And
yeah. He goes to
Philly for Covington and Saric, basically, and a bunch of other things that doesn't really matter. Covington was later used in the Clint Capella four-team trade. Saric was in the Suns trade. And the hauls from both trades, Saric and Covington, again, the rest of what they got wasn't of much importance. The rest of what they got from both trades kind of just dissolved and into nothing. And that's where I say the NBA has a problem, because the fact that Jimmy Butler can force a trade twice, again, PG did the same thing, force a trade to the Timberwolves. Not to the Timberwolves, but force a trade out of Chicago, gets on the Timberwolves, and then just destroys their future. Like, destroys them. Mm-hmm. Where are they now? Where are the Timberwolves now? They have, I mean,
14 seed?
They have Trey Wiggins. Yeah, they're not even in the bubble. They're not even in the bubble.
Yeah, it's pathetic. They're below the Suns.
Even with D'Angelo Russell, I mean, are you picking them for the playoffs next year?
No way. I never believed in Kat as a winner.
I'm not. I gotta see it first. So the Timberwolves fans were on such a high and went from such a low to such a low so quickly. Because the Jimmy Butler thing ruined them. Like, the Thunder or Indiana, they weren't ruined by PG leaving. Mm-hmm. Not Philly. The Timberwolves, like, oh my God. It looks bleak for them.
Well, I mean, it was also the Timberwolves' fault, not Jimmy's, because the Timberwolves had no idea what to do with Saric and Covington. Like, they just ruined them as, yeah, like, young assets.
And I feel like they might have panicked in that trade.
Definitely.
Just because they traded him right before the deadline. And Philly, I mean, Covington, Saric, I mean, they're good players, but they're not all-stars like Jimmy. At least, I feel like Oladipo was a higher asset than any of them when the Pacers made that trade.
Maybe. I think Oladipo was around a little bit better than Covington. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was a top five pick. And I mean, bad situation with Orlando, bad situation with OKC because Russ just dominated the ball and turned into an all-star. So turned out for them. Yeah, poor Timberwolves. So we'll talk about Philly. Eventually, what they gave up, which wasn't a lot, it didn't even matter because Butler just left the next year in Miami. So Butler got what he wanted, I guess, because he has his own team, he can contend, and who knows what happens with Miami's cap space in the coming years. But yeah, it went well. It went well for Jimmy, not well for the Timberwolves, and the Sixers kind of evened out. What I don't understand is why Jimmy left. I've never understood this. I still don't. I really don't.
But to be honest, it was the right decision. It is confusing why he ever had, like, an initiative to leave, you know?
It did work out for him, but think about it. No one expected Bam to be Bam, at least not this year. I don't think anyone expected the Heat would be a top four seed? I think the four seed, right?
Oh, I had them preseason as a top four
seed. You had them favored to get to the second round because they're favored right now.
Yes. I not right now, which no is weird way. Because my preseason, I literally had them preseason. I wish I had talked to you about this. I've been telling everyone that the Heat will be a top four team in the East just because I believed in Sip Spoelstra. And I looked at that depth and I thought that team was really deep and I just thought they were top four team with Spoelstra.
Did you have them over Milwaukee? No, right?
No, I did not. No.
Did you have them over Boston? No, right?
No, I had exactly those top three teams. I had the top four right, basically. And then I had the Pacers five.
Oh, so actually, you I got thought the top Toronto... six right.
That's crazy now that I look back at it.
That's pretty... I think... I don't remember who people had, but I think Philly people definitely thought would be higher after last year. But yeah, think about it.
I never bought into Embiid Simmons like that.
You're a game seven fluke of a bounce away from beating the freaking champs.
That's true.
And he leaves. That was crazy to me. Because I thought he finally found the team where he could compete. And Philly embraced him. He's the perfect athlete to play for Philadelphia, honestly.
Yeah, he really is.
He does not care what anyone thinks about him. And he'll say it to your face. Like, he's feisty.
Yeah.
The thing about this trade,
I think the Rockets offered four first-rounders for Jimmy Butler. And I know the Timberwolves didn't take it, but yeah, I mean, imagine that went down.
That'd be an interesting team. Who do you think starts the first fight? Harden, CP3, or Jimmy Butler? I'd say Jimmy and CP. Jimmy and CP get into it like day one.
I don't think Harden's about that fighting life.
That's all right. That trio, that locker room, I don't think would work out well.
If you think about it, he's been on four teams within the past few years, Jimmy Butler.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And he's, what, top 12 player maybe in the league? Top 15?
Borderline, yeah.
Yeah, he's right there. He'll probably make a... I don't know, actually. Yeah, he'll probably make a third-team All-NBA.
Yeah, he should this year. Maybe.
Especially with Durant out. He might make a second team. Who knows?
I don't know about second team, but yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. All right, next trade, we'll get into Kyrie.
This was
probably the biggest one that we've done yet. Because the Cavs win the title in 2016. Are clearly the second best team in 2017. They had a championship caliber roster in 2017. They just ran into the Warriors, who are maybe the greatest team ever with Steph and KD on the same team. Klay, Dre, we know what they're about. And then he requests a trade. Not as bad as Jimmy's because he was playing with the best player in the league. This one made no sense. This one makes no sense.
For who, the Cavs or the Celtics?
For Kyrie, I mean.
Oh,
I can understand Jimmy being like, maybe this Embiid Simmons thing isn't gonna work out well because it clearly did not fit well in the playoffs. Maybe he didn't trust Brett Brown and he's like, I'm good. But the fact that Kyrie was playing with the second best player, first best, whatever, top three player of all time in his prime and was like, I'm good. That's when has that ever happened before in history?
With Kevin Durant last year.
But yeah, Curry's not top three though.
Yeah, but that's the greatest.
You're right.
We're
you're
talking
right,
about
you're
teams.
Right, but you're right though. Durant is...
This is why I don't like Kyrie and Durant as like just as much as other people should because they don't want that winning life. You know,
it makes no sense. I think they just wanted to win on their own terms with each other because they're clearly great friends.
Yeah, some guys just like being the man. But for Kevin Durant to say that the Nets are a better fit for him than the Warriors, I hope he regrets that.
Look, I love the Nets. I'm a Nets fan, and Even I don't think that's remotely true. I would give up everything to play with Steph Curry.
Back to his Kyrie trade, though. When it happened, it was probably, like, the most heartbreaking thing if you were an Isaiah Thomas fan. Like, they did him dirty, like,
oh my gosh.
Year.
He was lined up for so much money.
Exactly. And he had just dropped 53 in the playoffs with his, what happened to his sister. So
he was, yeah, that's right. He was top five. I want to say he was fifth in MVP voting that year. I want to say he was fifth. He was
second. He should have been higher.
He was second team all NBA and he had a great year. Like, it was totally justified why he was second team all NBA.
Yeah.
And top five in MVP. So the whole trade is Kyrie goes to Boston, just Kyrie. That's all these trades. It's just the player that requests a trade for a big haul. For Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and a pick that became eventually, it was a Brooklyn pick, results in the eighth pick, and that became Colin Sexton. This is the first scenario I think we get to where it's a lose-lose.
That's exactly what I was thinking. If you had to pick a team who won, who do you think won? If you had to pick a team who won, who do you think won?
I want to say Boston, because if he doesn't leave, maybe they don't get Kemba. Like, it's worked out really well for Boston where they are right now. Cleveland's a bottom team. And it sucks for Cleveland because that was their championship window. Like, LeBron was in his prime. K-Love was great. And in 2018, they went to the finals without Kyrie.
Basically,
LeBron is just carrying them.
Like, I get that the Cavs team was atrocious, but it was, like, less atrocious enough for LeBron to get them to the finals. So I don't think it was a total lose for the Cavs. Like,
yeah,
in that sense.
They get to the finals, but I feel like that has nothing to do with the trade. I feel like that's just a LeBron thing.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not getting past the first round if LeBron's on the team. They might not even.
You
want to
hear what the other offers were on the table for Kyrie Irving?
The Bledsoe and Paul George one, right?
Yes, there were Bledsoe and Paul George. So the Cavs would have gotten Paul George, Irving to the Suns. And the fourth overall to the Pacers. There was also another one. The Heat offered Dragic. I mean, I don't know if these are offers or these are rumors. It was one or the other, but the Heat with Dragic, Winslow, and Adebayo. That could have been interesting.
That could have been very interesting.
Because Adebayo wasn't like that at the time. It was just more like a throw-in.
No. He was like a Sabonis.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was just like a throw-in. That's interesting, because when Cleveland made this trade, most of my friends were making the argument that Cleveland won it. And I think I was actually one of those people.
I think I was one of those people, too.
Isaiah Thomas came off a great year. Jay Crowder, like, great role player. He's great if he's, what, your seventh best player? Cleveland just came off going to the finals. You'd think that Isaiah would make up, what, 85% of what Kyrie does on offense? And then they have this pick, this Brooklyn pick, that at the time, people were like, maybe they trade that for another great player. Not a Kyrie, but another great player. And then you have four great players, being Love, whoever they get for the pick, LeBron, and Isaiah Thomas. But the Isaiah thing didn't work out well. Crowder gets traded later. I want to say Zizic is still on the team. Sexton's there.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah gets thrown in a trade. I think he goes to the Lakers or the Nuggets. One of those teams. He bounces around. And
I saw another potential offer. It was, Ricky from the Jazz, Ricky Rubio, Johnson, and Donovan Mitchell.
I knew you were going to say Mitchell. That is crazy. Because you have to think that in 2018, Donovan Mitchell, he's the best player on the court with PG and Russ in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And
I mean, he could have been something for
LeBron. He definitely would have worked well with LeBron.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think LeBron probably still leaves if that happens, but at least they have a better team. A lot of interesting trades. And what I thought, if you told me all those trades at the beginning, I'd say what they got maybe wasn't the best, but was still one of the best offers. But look, I mean, getting PG or Mitchell are better than anything of what they got in this trade. Unless Sexton turns into something. But let's talk about what Kyrie meant for Boston, because that's the bigger story here.
Yeah. Boston proved that they don't need Kyrie at all. I mean,
they really did. They look great now. They all look better without him.
Jason Tatum looks amazing.
Tatum was like bad that year.
Kyrie made him worse.
Jalen wasn't doing what he's doing. I mean, Hayward barely played, and when he did, I'd say Hayward's better this year. Mm-hmm. Smart was kind of the same, and they have Kemba Walker now, who by all accounts is an amazing teammate, and they all love playing with him.
Last year, we had Jason Tatum. Probably, like, did we even have him in our top 50?
I was just thinking that. I don't think he would have made it.
Because now I've got him on my top 10, and I don't, like, it just, like, and Jalen Brown's now in my top 25.
Kemba's what, 20, low 20s?
Yeah, well, I think Jalen Brown's better than Kemba, but I think Kyrie's really opened up a lot just for the Celtics. His absence.
For sure. Kyrie, he gets injured the first year he's there, and they go to they're in a game 7 with LeBron James. And the next year, I mean, with all the bad chemistry problems, I mean, they still get to the second round at least.
They
end up losing to Milwaukee, but at least they got there. And they avoid giving Horford a bad contract. He bounces, and they get Kemba. And now they have this great team that's contending for a championship. And I want to say between Kemba, Tatum, and Brown, they're all under 28, I want to say. Kemba Walker's 30. But, I mean, Tatum and Brown are like, what, they've been in the league like three, 4 years?
Yeah, it's great. Hayward's not that old either.
Yeah. Same, and Hayward looks better. No, Boston's a great team. It eventually did work out for them. But they probably could have got more with what they gave up.
Yeah. Can I throw something out there?
Yeah.
Do you think Kyrie's career is like a lesser Allen Iverson?
Nah.
Because there was that 1 year for Kyrie, and then after that, he's a troublemaker.
I'd say, I don't know what... I mean, we have no idea how this Brooklyn thing is going to play out.
Do you really see it playing out?
So young. I mean, he's with his best friends. How does in his hometown, how does it not work out well?
I don't know if best friends is the best thing for basketball.
Yeah, but at least he's in the place he wants to be in. Like, he never wanted to be in Cleveland. Just be in the city. To be in the city. Not with the players. Just your environment. I feel like that has a big impact. I don't see... If this doesn't work out, what will? You know what I mean? He goes from playing with LeBron, all these young, great players, and then KD, and he's like, no. In the city where he wanted to be in,
I've already given up on Kyrie Irving. I don't know how you're still on that train.
I mean, I'm there. I'll talk myself into it 10 different ways just because I'm a Nets fan. But I really do have faith in Kyrie. I really do. I think he means well. He just, it's tough. Like, I think he expressed himself not in the best ways. I really do.
Yeah. Oh, back to the Celtics thing, by the way. I mean, this is obviously really off topic, but if Jason Tatum wins, I mean, not wins, if he wins the East this year, is he a top 6 player in the league?
Yes.
Completely agreed.
unless he plays bad and Kemba and JB just go off if he plays well and they go to the finals, I'm telling you right now, when we do our All-NBA teams, he's first team.
Oh, for sure. There's only four guys in the league who've been the best player on a finals, on just a finals team. That's Kawhi, KD, Curry, and LeBron. So, I mean, I can't see, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy because LeBron and the Warriors have just dominated the finals. And then you have the Kawhi, the Spurs, and it's crazy how it's just those four players. When was the last time we saw someone else? Dirk?
Exactly.
Dirk,
I'd
right?
put Tatum
2011?
Over Harden at that point.
Well, no. 2013 and 14, Kawhi, like, was... It wasn't like he was the best. Like, 2013, it was definitely Duncan.
Well, yeah, but they're out the league now. So, I'm saying, like, there's only
four
guys right now.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, 2011 Dirk and then 2010 Kobe. You know, 2010 Pierce, KG, whatever you want to call it. But, no, Boston is... I'd say they feel way better without Kyrie. So we'll see how this all plays out. And now we'll get to... I think this is our last trade.
No, we got two more.
We'll do... What do you want to do first? You can pick.
Which one came earlier? Kawhi. The Kawhi trade.
Kawhi was earlier. Yeah, let's do Kawhi. This is the crazy one. This is the crazy one to me. Let me go on a rant for a little bit. Just like 2 minutes.
Okay, gotcha.
Look. I know he won the title. I know he was the best player in the league. I know he had an amazing season with Toronto. But the fact that he basically sat out a whole Spurs season and then he went to like 8 different doctors. I mean, we don't know what he was doing, but I think he probably was shopping for an opinion. Actually isn't playing, but he's playing those pickup games with like Danny Green and others with a bunch of veterans. So he's playing pickup games in practice, but come game time, he's just like, no. He forces a trade out, and just because he plays well in Toronto, no one cares anymore. And it's just everyone loves Kawhi. I think that's crazy.
This is honestly the craziest outcome I've ever seen for a trade.
It has turned out so well for a player. I've never seen a situation turn out so well.
It made Masai Ujiri and Kyle Lowry's careers they did a whole 180 on their careers just because of this trade.
Zach Lowe mentioned this on I think Bill Simmons' podcast, but he said, "Have we ever seen a player's legacy change so much in one game with Game 6 Kyle Lowry in the finals?"
I mean, I always had him that high, but yeah,
where he just
torched
them. I mean,
where do you have him in the league right now?
We'll do our top players list right before they come back for the bubble.
Okay,
but I'd rank him he's the best or second best player in the second seed in the East. He's got to be top 20.
Yeah, I've got him in my top 15.
I can totally see how you can make that argument. I'd have to see all these names out, but I can't imagine where he's not in my top 18, 17, around there. Kyle Lowry's great player. I love what Toronto's doing this. I love what Toronto's doing this year. This defending the champ.
Danny Green was an afterthought in this trade. Like, no one was really thinking about Danny Green.
Yeah,
until
I didn't even mention the trade. The trade was basically Kawhi to Toronto for DeRozan, Danny Green, Jakob Poeltl. I want to say something else, but main things were Danny Green. No, Danny Green was on the Spurs side going to the Raptors. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the Raptors don't win the title without Danny Green and Kawhi. So, out of all these trades, this is the trade that it's worked out best for a team. Again, the Davis trade is pending because that's also probably a win-win. I think the interesting thing with players forcing their way out is that most of the time it's a win-win.
Yeah, that's actually kind of true.
Cleveland and Boston were screwed, and Boston they're not screwed now because they had Tatum and Brown in the first place. That trade went bad for both teams. Take away the other aspects of both rosters. Just if you single it down to that trade, it went bad. And Minnesota, but most of these went well, surprisingly.
Can I say some things about the trade really quick? So,
Yeah.
At the time, it felt like the Spurs won this trade by a mile. Like, because there were rumors, I remember, that Kawhi wasn't even, like, he wasn't even willing to play for the Raptors at all that season. And it was just, this whole debacle. So, and like,
there were rumors where, like, if he wasn't in LA, he was just going to hold out and sign there next year when he was a free agent.
Exactly. And
he only had a year left.
Yeah, what's bizarre about this is that Kawhi and Popovich, like, their personalities, it seemed like a perfect duo. So I was so surprised that, like, this whole thing was just breaking apart.
We still don't know the full story of what happened in San Antonio.
Yeah. And we don't. Raptors weren't even a rumored team, like, to be traded to. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, this trade also happened out of nowhere. But it wasn't as big as it wasn't that big of a deal because, again, a big theme with these trades is that a player doesn't have a lot of years left on his deal. So he's like, trade me or I'll sign elsewhere. If you trade me, you'll get something out of it, which is a fair mentality to have. But for the Raptors, I mean, Kawhi still left, so you'd think this trade ended up badly. But the fact that they get a title, their first title ever, is just nothing better.
Yeah, I went back. And I saw some other trade offers that the Spurs could have taken. I think it, like, because I'm not sure if these are just rumors, but
the Ingram was one with definitely a rumor.
The Ingram. It was Ball, Ingram, and Hart, similar to the AD trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings offered, like, I mean, I don't know if they offered, but there was something for the number two pick. The Spurs could have gotten Luka that year.
Oh my God. See, yeah. I didn't know how to feel about this trade. Because I was never high on DeRozan. Just, I mean, I know it's LeBron who he's facing, but he would just melt down in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. I agree.
I was never big on DeRozan. And Kawhi, the fact that he just sat out a whole year, I was kind of over Kawhi, to be honest with you. My mentality was, did this guy even like to play basketball?
Exactly. I thought he didn't have it
either. I thought he didn't. I never would have expected what happened in Toronto. It happened, and again, they don't win the title if KD and Clay don't get hurt. They just don't. Like I'm 99.9999% sure that does not happen. But hey, things turned out well for them. So props to Toronto. Props to Masai Ujiri, and they have a great team now. They're the biggest winners probably out of any of these trades.
I thought Pirtle was going to be a better asset. I thought Pirtle had a lot of potential at the time. And going to the Spurs, they could have developed him pretty well, I thought. But I guess not now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Spurs, look. This didn't end well for the Spurs. Actually, you know what? I take back what I said. A lot of teams did not get good returns out of some of these trades. DeRozan is nowhere near an All-NBA team. I'm pretty sure he was second team before the trade happened. He was the best player on a conference finals team 1 year in 2016, I want to say. 2016, I think the Raptors were in the conference finals. And, yeah, I don't think he'll be an all-star for the rest of his career. He's still an asset, of course, but the Spurs aren't going to make the playoffs this year, I don't think.
Guy who would have been better about 10, 15 years ago than now.
Yeah, Same with Aldridge. Both missed their era by a few years.
Yeah,
They were both better, I feel like, Aldridge and DeRozan 4 years ago.
Yeah, the thing about the Spurs is they've always been progressive, but all of a sudden it feels like they're behind the whole NBA.
Yeah, it's not going well. It really isn't. Their best players are probably DeRozan, Aldridge, DeJounte Murray. In their like top 6 minutes played, I'm watching these Spurs games and they have Bryn Forbes playing like 30 minutes a game. Trey Lyles.
Yeah,
like Lonnie Walker. Lonnie Walker, I like.
Yeah, I like. I mean, their team just isn't really like modern, you know.
Yeah, what are they? Last in 3-pointers or second to last?
Yeah,
bottom
Yeah.
But their run with Duncan was legendary, so I'll give them a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest winners of this trade were easily Toronto.
Easily.
And Kawhi. No, Kawhi is the biggest winner of the trade, actually.
Because
he wins a title, everyone acknowledges he was the best player in the league, and then he gets to go where he wants in LA. And now he's on the contender.
I don't know about the best player in the league. We have different opinions on that one, but yeah.
We'll get to that. And, all right, last trade. Probably, I'd say the biggest trade. The best, at the time, the biggest asset involved in Davis. And probably not the most toxic one, but definitely the player that got the most hate for it. And that's why I thought the Kawhi thing was so crazy. Because Kawhi gets no blame, and Davis got killed.
Well, you think he got killed more than Kyrie?
Yeah, I do. I think he got killed more than anyone, Davis. Because it was also to L.A. and to the Lakers. And there's this whole anti-Lakers thing around the league.
That's true, yeah.
So and it was like the poor Pelicans. You know, what did they... It got... And, I mean, look, they looked into the first pick, got Zion. So the whole trade is... This is another one with a ton of draft picks. Anthony Davis to the Lakers. Just Davis for Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram, all-star this year. Josh Hart and three first-rounders. And I want to say two pick swaps.
I think it was two first-rounders and two pick swaps.
Whatever the case may be.
Oh no, three, because one was the fourth overall pick.
Yes, yeah. That fourth overall pick that became Garland?
No, Hayes.
No, Jackson, I mean, like, that fourth pick was Garland, but they traded it.
Did they?
Yeah,
they just chose Jackson Hayes straight up.
Nah, Hayes was not the fourth pick. Garland was.
I'll look it up while you
Yeah, I want to say it was Zion, Ja, RJ, Garland, and then DeAndre Hunter. I want to say that was the top five.
Oh, I think you're right. It was traded. Yeah.
They drafted Hayes and I want to say like two other picks. I think they traded that pick for three other late picks.
Wait, was it Garland? I just know that Hayes is from the Hawks. So maybe it was Reddish? Was it? No. I don't know.
Reddish went like eighth or something. Either way, it was a high pick.
Yeah, it was a high pick.
And again, minus the Zion thing, even if you take Zion out, it's still kind of a win for the Pelicans. Because
Zion wasn't part of this trade, was he?
Yeah, I just mean like what they got in return. They get a ton of picks. And if Davis stays with the Lakers his whole career, they probably don't get a ton out of the picks, especially if LeBron retires there too. But I mean, look, Lonzo looks better than ever. Josh Hart is a good player. I mean, he's fine if he's, what, your eighth best player? Seventh best player?
Yeah.
And Brandon Ingram was an all-star this year. Averaged like 24. So it's not the end of the world for them.
I feel like Brandon Ingram, they definitely increased Ingram's value. But I think for the future,
yeah,
with Zion Williamson, they might want to get rid of him. But the Lakers,
we'll see how it goes.
In hindsight, they should have traded Kuzma, the one guy that they wanted to hold on to, you know? Kuzma was the one guy they wouldn't trade.
I remember talking with my basketball coach about this because he's a big Lakers fan. And we both agreed, don't give up Kuzma. If you could save any of the three between Lonzo, Ingram, and Kuzma, me and him were like, Kuzma, gotta save him.
I was more a Lonzo guy.
Really? Kuzma was the oldest, and I know they wanted to contend now. I mean, he spent years in college. He just seemed like the most mature one, and he was averaging, and look, he was doing better than what he is now, but he just seemed, I think he was a bigger asset than Ingram and Ball at the time.
Well, Lonzo just seemed the most, like the most talented, I feel like. Like passing, maybe, defense. And
he's great now. He's great for the
Pelicans. He's going to be great this year because the thing is, he grew up shooting Wilson evolution balls his whole life. And when he got to the NBA, that stopped because they used Wilson evolution balls at UCLA and everything. And he had to switch to Spalding. But now they're going back to Wilson. And so I think he's going to be a great shooter this year and just the rest of his career.
He's shooting... Look at this. He's shooting 38% this year from three. taking 6.5 a game at 38%. That's good. Playing 56 games. He shot 32.9 the previous year, and his rookie year he shot 30 from three. So definitely an increase.
Yeah, well, at the draft, I said he would be a future Hall of Famer. I think now that he's in the Pelicans, he's still, I think that's still intact, that prediction, if he's the number two or number three guy.
It's still in play, but I don't know. I still think he's their fourth best player.
Fourth, behind who?
Drew, Zion, and Brandon Ingram.
Oh, yeah, he is the fourth. But I'm saying, like, I don't expect those guys to stay on the team for the whole run.
We'll see. I mean, who knows? With the way the league is going, none of those players will be there in 5 years because everyone requests trades and people just bounce around.
Yeah. Oh, during this trade with Anthony Davis, the Celtics were actually interested. That was a really big rumor.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't give up Tatum. And that was a big W for the Celtics that they didn't end up throwing in Tatum.
Thank God for them that they didn't. And also, I remember hearing that, didn't Rich Paul say if the Celtics trade for him, he's leaving in the summer? Didn't they say that?
Yeah, there was that was definitely a rumor. Yeah.
I think the Celtics hoped the Kyrie thing would played out better. And if they had Kyrie and you can trade away Tatum, I think Davis
Kyrie's chances of staying. Kyrie's chances of staying were a lot better if AD was traded to the Celtics.
I'm just saying, like, if the Celtics thought how they originally thought the Kyrie thing would play out and he would have worked for them, I don't think Davis would have wanted to leave that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Especially if Kyrie was like, look, I try to be the best player. I'm not that. I'll be your second fiddle. I think Davis totally would have done that. Boston's like it's not a small market, I wouldn't say. They get free agents.
I think right now Boston is in the best situation they could have possibly put themselves into.
Yeah. And this is the most interesting about the trade, because if the Lakers just win a title, then I think it's undoubtedly this is the best scenario that it ended up for any team. Because Toronto won the title, but Kawhi didn't stay. If Davis plays like – if Davis gives the Lakers like 5 A-plus years and they win a title with him and LeBron, this is easily the best one for sure.
Yeah.
And
Davis is young.
They're probably the favorites right now. Not going to lie to you, I don't know how confident I am that they are the favorites. I think the Clippers are right there. But if I had to bet my life, I'd probably go Lakers. So.
Agreed.
So there you go.
The thing about those picks that they traded is that it really isn't a big deal because the Lakers suck at drafting. So I never thought of it as a big deal.
They got Kuzma for like the 20th pick.
What is Kuzma now? Like
their fifth or sixth player? He's been, oh my God, he's been very disappointing.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting about this is that this is just the last 3 years. I'm surprised. 2020, have we seen this happen? No one forced their way out, right?
No, but I'm trying to think if there are any players right now this offseason that could.
Look, that's kind of the way the league goes. That's kind of the way the league goes. It's just who's going to, like, is Devin Booker going to ask out? Is Karl-Anthony Towns going to ask out? I thought Bradley Beal was, but they extended him. He was probably the next person who you would have thought
is going to ask out. I'm just waiting for a team to say, no, we're not going to trade you. Play out your contract, you know?
That would be interesting. I think if Karl-Anthony Towns or Booker did that, those teams would say that because they got like 3 or 4 years left on their deals.
Yeah.
Booker, I want to say, is a free agent in like 2024.
Dude, Booker. Well, I don't think Booker's in the worst situation, but it's just like, I don't know. It is bad.
And he actually looks pretty good this year.
He looks amazing.
He looks way better. Yeah. He's in 2024. He's a free agent. So
by that time, he's gonna
be more focused on winning. If I'm the Suns and Devin Booker's like, I want out. I'm like, forget it. Go play. I'm not trading you. I'd be like, I'm not having this discussion until 2 years later.
Yeah, I'd honestly say the same. That franchise. I don't know what happened to the Suns. ever since Steve Nash left, it just hasn't been the same.
Well, I'd say we're in for a lot more of these trades and players being unhappy. And this is just the beginning of player empowerment. I'd say the players have more power than they ever have. I'd say in any league, the NBA players have the most power, right?
Yeah, for sure. Who do you think has Definitely. Who do you think is the next player to be traded?
See, I would have guessed a year ago that Bradley Beal is probably traded by now. Like, if you told me a year ago, is Bradley Beal still in the Wizards? I wouldn't be so sure of it, especially with the John Wall injury.
How do you like the Nets' idea of trading for him?
It bothers me so much. Because I remember when I first heard about it, I was like, this is ridiculous. So I remember watching like a bit of First Take, and I already messed up by watching First Take. But I remember hearing like Stephen A. talk about it, and he was saying like, this makes the Nets like the favorites. And he was saying that Bradley Beal is like a two-way player. I was like, have you watched him the last year? He hasn't tried on defense for like the last year and a half.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
If we get Bradley Beal, that's just another guy who needs the ball and is not going to defend.
Obviously, this is not even close to realistic, but if I were the Nets GM, I would trade Kyrie for Beal and another asset.
Nah, I'm not giving up Kyrie.
Like Bertans?
Steven, you can't deny how skilled Kyrie is, and we've seen him play well in the playoffs. I get last year, but we've seen him hit one of the biggest shots. What?
That was so long ago. He's not the same player.
He's better now.
He's not better now.
Would you say he's a worse player now? Not mindset. Would you say he's worse at basketball now?
Because he's not going to give you the same chance to win a game because he has a different mentality when he goes into the game.
Just hit, like, his skills. Is he more skilled?
Okay, but basketball is more than skill.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Like, if you want to win, it's not just about skill. Like, he's not going to beat a team.
I know teams that weren't the happiest together that won. I'm just saying.
But they'd have to be exceptionally talented.
Yeah. We don't got Shaq and Kobe on our team. That's a whole different category. Yeah. No, you're right. Look, I don't expect the title of this Nets team, but I think we're in the conversation, especially if Kyrie and KD can work out together.
Who's the leader on that team?
KD, what?
KD is not a leader.
Hey, he won two Finals MVPs though.
He was the leader of going. Steph Curry was the leader. It's not even a debate.
Steph Curry was definitely the emotional leader. Draymond Green was the bigger leader than him.
KD might have been I don't even know if KD was like ever considered a leader for his teams.
I'm with you on that stuff. I don't understand why he left Golden State, but you can't deny him and Kyrie's skill on a basketball court. You just can't. They're two of the best pure scorers I've ever seen in my life.
I get that, but I just feel like you need a leader. I don't know.
Well, I mean, KD, maybe he's matured. I think he has.
Really? He's still commenting on Instagram.
Yeah, because he's out this whole year. And I don't think we ever saw it affect his play in the playoffs.
Well, this whole playoff run of his last 3 years has been pretty skewed because he's like,
yeah, he's on Golden State. So it is, you're right. It is skewed that the spacing, everything's different with that team than the Nets. But I wouldn't just count the Nets out already. I gotta see.
Okay. Let me ask you something. Do you think that, Kevin Durant
real quick,
is,
we gotta go.
Okay. Do you think Kevin Durant is better than he was in OKC?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, then I can't represent your scenario.
Post-injury or pre-injury Durant?
Post-injury.
I don't know. I don't know. I gotta see him. I gotta see him when he comes back from injury.
Okay. Yeah, we can wrap it up.
I want to say yes, but I'm pretty split. Because he's definitely more skilled now. He definitely knows more about the game. And I think he just being around Steph and Clay and those guys, he knows what a great teammate looks like. They're definitely better teammates than Russ, I'd say. But I don't know. I got to see how this plays out with the injuries. Him and Kyrie.
Who's your coach?
I don't even know with the Nets. I'm not really thinking about that this year. I'm not really, honestly, I haven't really started thinking about next year. I really want to see our guys like LeVert get more experience in the playoffs. Because people forget this. LeVert was our leading scorer in the playoffs.
I love LeVert. I'm pretty sure the Pacers traded his draft rights.
You did. Thank you guys. Yeah, that was in the Thad Young trade, I want to say. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was in the trade?
20th overall.
Sean Marks makes moves. That's all I'm going to say.
I actually like the Pacers this year in the playoffs. I know I've said it a lot of times.
We'll see how it all plays out. But that pretty much recaps it for all our forced player trades and player empowerment. It's crazy how much of an impact it's had. It's crazy how much the league can change just with the power in the players' hands. And it all started with the decision. LeBron, pioneer of this. This is his legacy. Beyond basketball. Beyond things on the court. Any closing remarks?
I can tell Paul George that he... No. I don't really have any closing remarks.
That's about it. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to NBA Therapy Episode 3. We'll be back Wednesday with another one. And bear with us. Season's starting soon, so we're about to go on a run. But we just can't wait for the season to be back.
Peace.
See ya.